All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, July 1st of 2025. Looking ahead here, we had 30 tennis matches get underway at Wimbledon today. Good luck to all of you playing some tennis. We have a 10-game MLB main slate later this evening, and then there is a League of Legends showdown as well. So for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. Schedule update for you guys. Mentioned it yesterday. Going to mention it again today and tomorrow as well. Only having office hours Monday through Wednesday of this week. Taking some time off for the holiday, and then I will be back next week. So two more days of office hours, including today. But with that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up. And we will jump into questions. So I had one question come in prior to the show today. Question says, for MLB Showdown 150 max, with sim diversity being so high, I'm under the impression that means the lineups will all be centered around a single game sim outcome. Do you think it may make sense to run multi-sims for a 150 max, like maybe three sets of 50 instead, to cover a couple more game scenarios? Or do you think just roll with the 150 to have a higher chance of binking when the game plays out right? Okay, good question. So let's go over to an MLB Showdown. So something good to talk about today. MLB. We have a late showdown, Dodgers and the White Sox. All right. Get in here. So let's just kick off some lineups, right? Let's say we're going to build. Or no, we got to kind of talk about, well, yeah, let's just kick off some lineups. So I think the question here, right, is, hey, should I, if I have 150 lineups, do three different builds, maybe with different, like, team scores, right? Kind of focusing on, like, hey, you know, maybe I think the Dodgers win 10-0, so I'm going to boost the Dodgers, lower the White Sox. Maybe I'm going to go a game that's close. You know, maybe it's like 5-4. Maybe I'm going to go one where the White Sox upset and go kind of the inverse, right? And maybe I boost the White Sox up, you know, one or two runs, say two runs, and then I bring Dodgers down two runs, and then should I run sims like that? You can do that, okay? That is a totally fine thing to do. That's effectively why we created the favorites, right? The favorites gives you the ability to run different builds and take all of the different lineups and then combine them into one build, right? And I'm just using the boosting as like an example of like, hey, why would you want to do different builds, right? Sometimes people want to do different rules, right? Sometimes people are like, hey, in this build, I want to have, you know, these rules, and then this other build, you know, I want to have these rules, right? Okay, hold on. Let me read some follow-ups. Was under the impression with sim diversity at 10, it goes off of one game outcome. Okay, yes. I think this is the confusion, but this is still all good things we're talking about. Each lineup is the result of one sim. So when we build 5,000 lineups, right? So the first thing we do, we take one game sim of how the game plays out, and then we build lineup one, right, from our database. For lineup two, we get a new sim. We get a different sim, and then we build the best lineup from that sim. So along our entire spectrum of sims, we are randomly picking different sims each time we build each lineup. We are not grabbing one sim, building all of your lineups based on the outcome of the one sim. That is not what's happening. John says, so it's not all 150 lineups going off one outcome. Correct. That is not what's happening. We are grabbing 150 different sims from our database and then building those. So that's what's happening there. Yeah, if we were building all of your lineups based on one single game, that's a little wild. But no, that's not what's happening. The what we were talking about though can you know still I think some people will find that, you know, something they like. You know, I see this a lot in like football season, right? Like, hey, I want to have some lineups where it's like a shootout and that both teams are passing, and then, you know, I have like another build where it's more of like a run heavy game script, right? And maybe you like boost running backs, you boost the defenses, you lower the quarterbacks and wide receivers, right? So the ability to like run different builds and then combine them all into like one area and then submit them into one contest is still something I think that's, you know, good to cover here from time to time. And I could see that being something you do in baseball as well. But as far as like how the sims work, this works in all sports, right? So for NASCAR, we're taking one sim of the race each time we build one lineup. And then for lineup two, we're taking another sim of the race. Same thing for golf, right? For tournaments, all those type of things. So yeah, every time that would work. Follow up to the favorites. Would we save the lineups and then they would all add the contest when saved? So what happens here is like, say I have 20 lineups right in this build. I click this star icon. Okay, notice favorites is grayed out right now. I can't click on it. I'm trying to. I do this star. I get a notification, 20 lineups added to favorites. I can now look at my favorites. It's white with a parentheses showing you how many lineups are in that area. I can click it. And then I can actually go and view those 20 lineups, right? So what happens here is if I have another build and another build and another build and I send 20 from each build, right? Say I have four. Well, this is going to say 80. And then when I go into this tab, from this tab, I can save the lineups. So it should look familiar, feel familiar, but it will only have those lineups, right? I don't have a pool here. I just have the lineups that I've sent. One other note with favorites, this one comes up sometimes. Trashing favorites doesn't exactly remove them from the favorites tab. It can be a little bit confusing here. If you completely want to clear out the favorites and start fresh, you need to right-click on the favorites, and then you need to use this clear favorites option. And then it will permanently remove the lineups, and then you can start completely fresh from the favorites section. So those are some things to note with favorites, with Sim Diversity 10. All very good questions here. And I think that was a good way to get the show kicked off. All right. That was our only question to get started. So why don't we kind of roll here? We've already started a little MLB Showdown Ultimate demo. You know, we've already built 5,000 lineups. So why don't we roll with it, right? So what do we do up front? We just made two adjustments, two projections. Remember that, you know, when you are building lineups and there are less games on the slate, basically the less games on the slate, the more high variance things that like can happen and be dramatically impactful to what the winning lineup will be, right? So like, okay, you know, if there's 14 games on the slate and, you know, some very low owned hitter from a team that wasn't expected to score very much, you know, hits two home runs, right? You know, that can matter, but there are so many other ways to build lineups that still can be the winning lineup where it matters a little bit less, right? But what if it's like a two game slate, you know, and anybody hits two home runs, you know, you're going to probably need that play. What I'm trying to get at is when there are less games on the slate, you almost want to have less restrictions and you kind of want to let even things that might seem like kind of abnormal work their way into your lineups, right? A very common one is going to be a pitcher against opposing team hitters, right? We can see this in like the top lineup here. So this is a lineup where we have Yamamoto, but then we also have batters from the White Sox, right? In classic sports, you know, in classic MLB, we would never want this, right? We basically never want a situation where we have Yamamoto and then we also have, you know, three, four hitters from the opposing team, right? But in showdown, it can work. So keep, you know, stay open with your lineup construction here. You know, it is a little bit different format. There are situations, right, where Yamamoto could throw 5-6 innings and then, you know, maybe White Sox get there late. You know, maybe it's a 0-0 game. Shane Smith is pitching really good too. That's why he's in the captain. And then the White Sox win it in, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th. Yamamoto comes out. They get to the bullpen, right? Like I can look at this lineup and I can think of a game script where it actually works, right? Now, the thing we probably want to be careful on is that notice that a lot of these top lineups are very, very similar, okay? That is something that we probably want to be aware of, right? Where, hey, it is jamming Shane Smith here in the captain, 92% leverage. We're jamming White Sox stacks. You know, we might, this gets back to like, hey, the builder has identified that this is the most profitable way to play the slate if the slate played out 100,000 times. The thing is, right, the slate at the end of the day is only going to play out once. And you might not want to be this high leveraged on the slate. You might even not even need to be this high leveraged, right? So what I would do is, okay, builder, you know, we need to start guaranteeing some diversification. You know, I'm going to make you make hard decisions and make you play other players, right? And how far you want to go with this, you know, I always rely on the aggregate metrics, right? So if I go back to one min unique, I go average ROI, average projection, drag this out a little bit. So I'm noting my projection in ROI, and then I'm starting to crank up the uniques, right? So going from 1 to 3, I go from like 455 to like 321. That's like a ton of ROI. So that seems good. Shane Smith comes down. Yamamoto goes up. We're getting to some White Sox captain batters now, okay? I might want to go further, right? I go to 4. Projection keeps coming up. So like what's happening here, right, is the builder's taking this stance where it's jamming the lower projected team. So then when we're changing the uniques, we're making it use different players. We're actually bringing the projection up because we're actually working in more Dodgers, right? So here, right, I've finally gotten to 4 uniques. I've lost a lot of projection, but I'm okay with that because my risk was so high where I'm lowering my risk. But now I'm still taking a stand on Smith, but 30%. Second highest is Yamamoto. And then we have a bunch of different batters, and many of them are in one lineup, and only one person is in 2. This, when I look at this leverage, feels so much better than being hyper-leveraged on the underdog White Sox, right? I like this a lot more. And then I go over to my utility. Still getting a lot of Shane Smith here. That's okay. You know, he's like, seems like a play we really like here from an ROI perspective. A lot of these leverages are lower. Now, if you're looking at this, right, and you're like, hey, you know, I'm already getting leverage on Smith and the captain. I'm getting extra leverage on him at the utility. When I combine this, you know, it ends up being very, very high compared to his total ownership. I think that's an okay thing, okay point to arrive at, right? So then go in here and manage this. Maybe you match pool exposure, right? Okay, I'm going to go 28% exposure in the utility. He's 11% owned. This is still like 2.5x, 2.5x, you know, his ownership here. And then I go and I look at his captain and I'm like, okay, maybe I bring this down. You know, maybe I want to be closer to like 5x instead of, you know, 10x here, like 3% to 30%. Maybe I want to be like 3% to 15%, right? And now I'm still have leverage on him. I have less, but I feel a lot more comfortable with the amount of risk I'm assuming, right? So these are all ways to manage your portfolio and do quality assurance on your lineups and your exposures. And I think that, you know, you can tell SaberSim like, hey, I understand you think this is the best way to play the slate. And I'm willing to play it that way to an extent, but I'm not willing to go all in on like an outcome that is doesn't have a high probability, even if it grades out well over the long run. I'm willing to allocate some amount of my portfolio to that, but not all of it, right? And then here, right, it still prioritizes the highest ranked lineups, right? So like that number one lineup still there. Okay, other Dodger 5-1s are in here, but then we start to work in some 3-3s, right? And 4-2s. So we're getting a better mix. The Dodgers 5-1. So all of this is just to get more balanced, not be so concentrated, and help you smooth out the swings of DFS here. So that's how I would be approaching MLB Showdown for tonight using the ultimate plan. All right. John said, any tips for F1 building for 150 max? Been getting wrecked with F1. We can go look at this past Sunday's race. I think there was a race. Yep. Okay. So, couple things with F1. I actually wonder if we have post-contest sims. I don't know. Let's go to contest tab. Okay, we do. Cool. So if you're ever in a situation, okay, where you are struggling, what I would do is I would spend time studying the best players, right? You can go back weeks at a time, right? As long as we have these results, which it looks like we do. Study, you know, some of the best players in the lobby and see what they're doing, right? Now, usually the best players are playing the biggest prize contest. They're maxing it out. So like, you can kind of narrow this focus into like, okay, I want to look at people who are maxing it out. Looks like the most entries you could have were 88. Okay, I'm going to go look at people who entered 88. And then I'm going to sort by sim ROI. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at these people. Okay, I want to see what these guys are doing. Interesting. Hold on. Let's see something. Another thing you could do, right, is look at names of players that you know, right? So if there's like somebody in here where you're like, hey, you know, I recognize that name. A common one would be Giant Squid. He's a SaberSim, one of the SaberSim partners, right? You guys should see him all over the place if you guys check out our winner circle. Just pop that up real quick. You know, you're going to see Giant Squid, 2 million. RBX, JBK. I think Squid has a couple more. Giant Squid, 3. I think there's another one in here somewhere. 4. Yeah. That was one I was thinking of. 5. Right? So Squid's obviously a crusher. And you know, you can look at like what he did, right? But you can look at maxers, you can look at people you know, and It goes a little bit further than to just like look at what won, and you want to see like what some of the best players, some of their decisions that they made, right? So we just like stick with the maxers here. Okay, I start by sim ROI. Now I want to study like some of the top players here. Well, first thing I notice, right, is that there is a wide range of results here, right? Some top sim ROIers, right? Like there are three positive maxers here, according to our flashback, right? One of them lost 93% of their entry fees. One of them won, you know, about 20%, right? And mind you that these players are very, very close here in terms of sim ROI. And it just shows you like how big the spectrum is of like what can actually happen in one single race is. Now, what I think is more important is seeing some of the characteristics of their lineups, right? So first thing that catches my eye here, this is a very dupe-heavy sport, okay? Average dupes 8, average dupes 9, average dupes 14, average dupes 9. Somebody had average dupes of 1. That's pretty incredible. So what do we see here, right? Well, man, I can't believe this guy had 1. This is crazy. I'm pretty sure it's Sabersome user. I've seen their name around, I think, in Discord. So what I'm trying to figure out is, like, okay, you know, there's some amount of duplication that you need to account for. Check. What are the average salaries people are using? Okay, it looks like all the maxers had an average salary above 49K. So, you know, not to say I'm going to, like, set it to, like, 49.2, but I do kind of want to prioritize. I think there's something to be said about prioritizing higher salary lineups, and salaries usually correlated to projection. So my conclusion here is that you got to strike a balance between, like, dupes and sim average score. What's crazy to me is that this user who had 1 average dupe, 67 uniques, their sim average score is 103, and there are users above them with average dupes of 9 and average dupes of 8 with lower sim average scores. So that's kind of crazy here. Comment, I noticed F1 in the builder defaults to 35K, I'm assuming, as well. Yeah, so, like, that can be something you change, right? Now, usually those defaults are, like, big. It usually depends, like, on the race format. I think the Sabersome is, like, doesn't want to restrict you from, like, building too many lineups. And it's kind of up to you, like, to change it at that point, right? I see this, like, a lot for NASCAR. Like, lower salary lineups in NASCAR can be, like, really good at Daytona, but maybe not so good at, like, some courses where they're, like, less crash heavy, right? So, like, that's, like, another thing that you have to consider. Or if, like, it's like an F1 race where there's not a lot of passing. I think Monaco's like that, right? There's not a lot of passing at Monaco. You know, you might not see, like, as wild of results. So this tells me, like, hey, don't be afraid to boost your average salary, and that I need to account for dupes, and that I might want to maintain a little bit higher projection if possible. So what would that look like, right? Okay, well, if you're ever, okay, we actually don't have live results, so that's good. So cool. So, like, let's go and, like, back test this, like, F1, right, and kind of talk about how I go about it. So from what I could tell, right, salary can, like, be a lot higher. I'd probably still give the builder, like, a little bit of wiggle room, right? We're going to start accounting for duplication too. And probably the higher up in salary we go, the higher chance there is of, like, lineups being duplicated. So I'm not going to, like, go super aggressive here. I'm going to go up to, like, 47K and see how that goes. I might be willing to, like, not play max salary lineups. So, like, I'm going to say, like, okay, I'm not going to play max salary, but I'll play lower than that. No filters or rules, 2 adjustments, 2 projections. Another thing I might do, this is something I like to do for, like, geo mean purposes. I like to standardize my captains. So, like, when you do a geo mean formula, it's multiplying the ownerships together. Okay. So if you multiply by 0, though, it makes the geo mean 0, kind of makes it irrelevant. So what I would do is set this to minimum of 1. Now, this can actually only help you rather than hurt you, because what you're saying is, I think these players are going to come in higher owned than expected. If they actually come in at the ownership they're listed at, then your lineups are more likely to be unique rather than less likely. So boosting this can be a useful thing to do. And then I would do that for all the positions. So driver, lowest is 6, seems fine. Construction, there are some zeros. Okay, cool. So I've standardized all these ownerships. That's great. Question, does that info indicate we can allow negative ROI lineups in? I would still avoid negative ROI lineups. You know, there weren't that many maxers. There wasn't, like, a huge sample size to kind of go off of. I, especially in the pre-contest sim, I would still filter for negative, filter out negative ROI lineups. Now, actually, I can probably undo these projection adjustments since I changed the ownerships. So cool. So this looks better, right? I'm still not going to do a lot as far as like handicapping or anything. I'm going to trust projections here. I'm not like an F1 shark or anything like that. So I'm going to kick this off. So what I've done so far, right, is I've increased the min salary, and then I've standardized all the ownerships. This will get more important in a second. But that's, as far as up front, from what I could tell in flashback, you know, those are good things to do. So I'm going to let the sim run. We will do another Ultimate demo here, just because I know John's on the Ultimate subscription, and he asked this one specifically. Okay, so we get into the post build. Sorts by F1 ROI, check. Okay, we have projection, aggregate metric, set up an ROI one. Got my exposure. I'm going to sort by that. So far, so good here. Now, let's talk about the geo mean, right? So the geo mean, first thing you need to do is you need to create a custom metric, which you can do by dropping this sorting metrics down, clicking add metric, and then I would write one that says my own geo mean value. This is ultimate only. If you don't have ultimate, you could write this as a rule. You can say add new rule, rule type aggregate, my own geo mean no more than X. In order to figure out how to do that, I would watch this tutorial. It's in the, how do ownership product and ownership geometric mean work? It'll show you how to figure out what number you should use, which I'll drop here in the chat. But once you create the metric, okay, just create it. Once you do that, you can filter by it. Now, I don't care what number I'm filtering for. I'm just trying to get rid of like the highest 10 to 20% geo mean lineups. Those are more likely to be duplicated. So if I say show lineups with geo mean less than X, I'm just going to make up a number, try 30. So I move some lineups to the trash. I'm trying to get like 500 to 1,000 into the trash. And I'm going to rename this. And I'm going to lower this number. So I try 27. Okay, 27, a little bit more. Try 25. Really close. 24 should be the sweet spot here. Cool. So 24, we get about 10% of our lineups in the trash. That's great, right? The higher geo mean lineups, more likely to be duplicated. So we're accounting for that here. Now notice, right, when I turn this off, oh, this is kind of cool. Oh, we said 150, so let's go back to 150. So let's increase the number of lineups here. I'm going to turn this off. 150. Okay. Let's turn this on. So our projection, this is a good thing all in all. This is something you need to be careful with, though. Sometimes geomean can drive your projection down. With it off, our projection is 95.2. With it on, yeah, it's 93.3. So it actually went down 2 points here. So this is where you need to be careful, where you're trying to get less dupes, you can get less sim average score. Basically, what I think you can do here is you can almost attack this from like both sides of the coin, where you're like, okay, I'm going to filter for geo mean. It's going to lower my projection, but then I'm also going to filter out some of the lowest projected lineups to counterbalance it, right? And then so I'll say, you know, show lineups with, I don't know, projection greater than 90. We'll try that. And that actually put a lot of lineups in the trash. So again, we still want to stay like closer to like 500 projection. Try 88. Still high. 85 should do it. 85 is like a little high, but it's in like the 10 to 20% range, so I think it's kind of okay. When I turn on the GL mean, so now, right, this average projection is a lot higher. We went from 95.2 with GL mean alone, or with nothing on, to 93.5, then back up to 94.9, right? Now we are balancing it out. So I actually like this a lot more. I would also turn on my ROI greater than zero filter. Save that. I would let the ROI filter take as many lineups as it wants. You know, it has like a nice big sample size to base that off of. So I trust it a lot. So now we're basically, you know, in F1, if you guys aren't familiar, right? In F1, you're trying to narrow down to like, you're trying to find that optimal lineup, right? You're going to need that optimal. That optimal is going to win multiple contests, right? You're trying to zone in on what you think are like, hey, these are the lineups that I'm hoping are optimal, right? Because when you win, you want to try and get as much of the first place prize as you can, right? So trying to strike a balance between win expectation, duplication rate, things like that. This feels really good. And then from there, it's customization, right? Now that we've basically got everything set up, we boosted our salary based on flashback. We are accounting for duplication based on flashback. We're being conscious of what the impact of the GL mean is having on our projection. We're counterbalancing it. We're playing positive ROI lineups. Now, right, it just gets into, okay, well, you know, back to the basics of how do my exposures and my leverages look? Am I comfortable with them? Do I want to adjust? You can use min uniques. You can use minimax exposures, all of those type of things. So if I were building lineups for F1, I would be trying something out like this. I think this can be super useful. So let me know if there's any follow-up. All right, next question. Are the standard deviations shown in the detailed projections from the results of the sims? Yes, they are. They are they're standard deviations of the fantasy points. That's why you're going to see like multiple of them. Let's see if we have it for F1. John said, thanks. You're welcome. And I'm opening this Excel file now. Okay, yeah. So DK standard deviation, these are standard deviations of the fantasy points specifically. So each site effectively has different scoring systems, so they all have different standard deviations. So, you know, the points are based on the sims, and then the standard deviations are based on the points for each site. So that's where these numbers are coming from. All right. Talk some MLB showdown. Talk some F1 on a Tuesday. So that's kind of cool. I think we're all caught up here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our last show of the week. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.